Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
You ready? Come on, let's read Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Let's go. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter, who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. We've just had the most incredible time together the last couple of days at More 26. Oh, NLC, you would just be so proud of the team that serves. They are the best of the best. Excellent, stellar. And it was just such a privilege and honor for us to be together. It was just prayers answered, let me put it that way. Just, we were walking in the middle of many miracles, and we're so grateful to Pastor Don just for his heart and his vision for not just blessing, but building the kingdom and building the church and building those who serve and volunteer, and the feedback that we got, just the encouragement, the uplifting, the help, and we give God all of the glory for that. We give him all of the praise for that. And so my task today is to bring I would say this is a synopsis of what we shared at the conference. And we are all in this church familiar with this scripture because our theme for 2026 as NLC comes from this scripture. It says that rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. And we know that 2026 is our year that we're going to stay fixed. It's our year that the storm is not going to push us, it's not going to sway us, it's not going to destroy us. And so today I want to preach a word titled, Building What Will Stay Fixed. Building what will stay fixed. You see, Jesus in this scripture is telling a story about two builders. Both of them built houses. Both of them experienced the same storm. Both of them faced the same wind, the same rain, the same pressure. The difference was not what they built. The difference was how they built. They both built houses. They both put in some sort of effort, some sort of plan, but there was a difference between the two, and it wasn't in the what, it was in the how. And our theme scripture for More 26 is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. From the Common English Version, it says, we must each be careful how we build. Each of us has to be careful, not just on what we're building, but how we're building, because we're all building something. You're building a marriage, you're building a ministry, a business, a family, a team, a future. And the question, church, is not whether the storm will come. The question is whether what we are building will still be standing after it does come. And if we want to build what will stay fixed, no matter what life throws at us, we must learn to build God's way. We must pay careful attention. We must each pay careful attention to how we are building. I want you to just think about, what are you building right now? In this season of your life, what are you building? What are you trying to see happen? What are you trying to see accomplished? And the question is not if the storm will come. It's a question of when. The storm will come. The rain will fall. A tornado might hit. But church, the will of God for us is that what we are investing our lives into building will still be standing even after the storm. And for that to happen, we have to build God's way. So number one, follow God's blueprint. For us to build God's way, for us to build something that will stay fixed, follow God's blueprint. Hebrews 11, verse 10 in the Amplified says, for he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is Abraham. It's speaking of Abraham, that he's looking forward to a city whose architect and builder is God. God is an architect. God is a designer. God has designed systems. God has designed processes. We see this from creation all through Scripture. God didn't just wake up and say, you know what? I want a world. Hey, world B. No, God had process. He had day one and day two and day three and day four. And each day had an order to it. There were certain things he was making. He made this and said, that's good. And then he waited to tomorrow and he made that and he said, that's good. And he created systems. He created evaporation and rainfall and weather systems and weather patterns and seasons. God didn't just create forests. God created a system for forests to create forests. He's an architect. He's a designer. He has strategy. He has a plan. When he made man, he didn't just say, hey, you know, let's make a BFF out of the ground. Literally what God did is he took soil and he started to design some systems. He started to design some skeletal systems and he started to design some respiratory systems. And what is this when we eat food and digestive systems? The intricacy of the body that you dwell in right now is a master engineer at work. God had a blueprint. When you go to the tabernacle, God didn't just say, hey, y'all, I'm so glad I set you free. Aren't we having fun out here in this wilderness? Hey, y'all, worship me. Let's have a service. God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build a tabernacle. There's an outer court. There's an inner court. There's a holy of holies. Here's the furniture. Here's how I want it designed. I want lotus buds carved into the base of the laver. You know, we wonder and we think that God is just not detailed. He's the most detailed being that there is. God often gives us instructions on what we're building that don't make immediate sense. Noah received measurements. Moses received patterns. Solomon received plans. God is not just interested in destination. He cares deeply about design. God isn't just wanting you to get there. He cares how you get there. God is not just interested in our final products because, church, can I just say this? God is not interested in having a bunch of stressed out, gritting their teeth saints who are building something great, but it's not the what that's causing us stress, it's the how. God wants there to be joy. God wants there to be peace. God wants there to be life. And so God said, instead of you having to figure out everything your own, I'm gonna give you a blueprint. I'm gonna give you a plan. All you have to do is follow the instructions that I've given. But see, many times we ask God to bless what we are building while ignoring how he told us to build it. We ask God, bless my marriage, but we're ignoring what he says we're supposed to build in that marriage. God, bless my business, but we're ignoring what he said we're supposed to be building in that business. How do we pray for a blessing for the business to succeed, for the family to grow, for our personal character to develop when God is saying, here's the blueprint for every final product you desire. Just follow it. Follow God's blueprint. He has detailed plans and instructions. And y'all, the truth is we read the blueprint. We highlight the blueprint. We discuss the blueprint. We shout amen to the blueprint. We hear the blueprint on Sundays and we say, that's a blueprint. That's a good blueprint. And then we build something completely different. A blueprint only works when it's followed. The blueprint is only going to give the product it promises if we follow it. So let's take a moment, church, and just be honest with ourselves. What have you done with the last thing God told you? What have you done with the sermon we heard last Sunday? Come on, Brother George brought us a word. What have I done with that word? How have I applied that word? What have you done with the last conviction you received from the Holy Spirit? What have I done with the last instruction I got from his word? What have I done with the last correction that I got from the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes we say we're waiting on a new word from God while we're standing on an old word we haven't obeyed yet. Sometimes we're pressing in for a fresh word and I'm in the middle of the word I haven't even applied yet. Is it the fact that God is not talking, or is it the fact that he's not gonna say the next thing until you do the last thing that he already spoke? A blueprint ignored becomes a breakthrough delayed. That was a great response. We do it again. A blueprint ignored. It does. It becomes a breakthrough delayed. Many years ago, I was having my personal time with the Lord, my quiet time, and I was really frustrated and weary and pouring out my heart to the Lord. And I remember distinctly, I was in bed and I was just, God, I just need this breakthrough. And I was very frustrated. And I kept saying the phrase, God, I'm standing in front of a locked door. I'm standing in front of a locked door. And I said it over and over, and I felt like heaven was shut and God didn't care and he wasn't listening until I just heard the Holy Spirit say, but Rebecca, the key's in your hand. Like, there's nothing I can do to help you here. You're literally standing in front of a locked door that I've already given you the key to unlock it. You just have to use it. You just have to apply it. There's a breakthrough. God wants us to have the breakthroughs in our marriage. But sometimes we don't need new counseling. Sometimes we just need to apply the counseling we already got. Do you know how many times my husband and I are humbled that the problems we have low these many 10 years that we have been married, that the answer is in our premarital book? It's right there. We open it and read it and we're like, well, there it is. Pastor Nelson, Miss Jane, we're in a chaotic place. We need to meet with you. And they're so gracious. They always do, and they pray for us. But pretty much every time, they're just repeating to us what they told us 10 years ago in premarital counseling. We have more answers than we think we have, church. We have more strategy than we think we have. You have more plans. You have the answer, many of us, to get to the next step. Number two, let the storm reveal what needs building. To build what's going to stay fixed, let the storm reveal what needs building. Matthew 7:25, we just read, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Y'all, nobody discovers the strength of a house on a sunny day. Storms are not what create weaknesses. Storms are what reveal them. The storm is giving you valuable information. The storm is giving you valuable help. The storm is showing you what needs to be focused on right now. Pressure exposes. Pressure exposes what maybe hasn't been built very well. What maybe has been worn down by time, by circumstance. It all looked good on a sunny day, but then some pressure comes. A storm comes in and you realize, wow, that door, I thought it was secure, but it was blown off its hinges. I need to repair that door. Man, that window shade, it was really flapping during the storm. Man, that corner of the roof, there's a crack. There's a leak coming in there. I didn't even realize that there was a crack in the roof until the storm came. And so instead of resisting the storm, maybe we need to be a little grateful that the storm isn't a punishment. The storm can be inspection. The storm can be what's coming to show you so you don't waste time on areas that are already strong and doing great. You can channel your energy and your resources and your focus and your priority to the areas that truly need some help. What a God that sometimes he sends the storm. Sometimes, y'all, it's not the devil. Have y'all ever heard that story? Pastor used to tell this years ago, where someone was walking up the steps to a church and the devil was sitting on the steps and he was crying. And this person passed the devil and they looked at him, devil, what are you crying about? And he said, those people blame me for everything in there. Oh, the devil attacked this. Oh, the devil. And y'all, the devil attacks. He's a bad, bad devil. We don't like that devil. He is mean and he's our enemy and we don't like him. But sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's actually mercy in disguise that's coming to help you quit wasting your time and your resources in an area that's not needed. So when pressure comes, pay attention. What cracked? What cracked? What collapsed? What became difficult for you to sustain in the storm? Did your prayer life disappear? Did your peace vanish? Did your convictions become negotiable when the storm hit? Did your worship become conditional when the storm came? The mercy of God is that he lets weaknesses reveal themselves before they destroy the entire structure. God is so merciful that he allows us to see our weaknesses, not to embarrass us, not to shame us, not to condemn us. But he's saving us from this whole thing collapsing. Pay keen attention. When you're in a season of pressure, when you're in a season of anxiety, when you're in the place of the storm, pay attention. What is cracking? What is collapsing? What is it? I'm finding it hard to sustain this. That right there is the mercy of God showing you that's what needs work right now. That's what needs strengthening right now. That's what needs encouragement right now. That's what needs a little lifting up and a little, you know, word of the Lord. And that's what needs some obedience. That's what needs some adjustment. That's what needs some aligning. Number three, understand God's pace. To build what will stay fixed, we have to understand God's pace. Deuteronomy 7, 17 and 21 to 22, it says, you may say to yourselves, these nations outnumber us. How can we force them out? Don't be afraid of them. Because the Lord your God is with you. He is great and an awe-inspiring God. Little by little, he will force these nations out of your way. You won't be able to wipe them out quickly. Otherwise, you would be overrun with wild animals. One of the hardest parts of building is accepting God's speed. We love suddenly, but God loves slowly. Little by little, the Israelites have entered into their promise. This is what they have been crying for hundreds of years. Send a deliverer, send a deliverer. And Moses has been sent by God, and Moses has brought them out. And they've been in the wilderness, lo, these many years. And because of the sin and the faithlessness of a few, all of them stayed in the wilderness for a very long time. And now the day finally comes that Joshua is helping to lead them across the River Jordan. And they are setting foot onto their promised land. And this is when God says, when you get to what you have been waiting for, when you get to what you have been believing for, when you get to what you have been preparing for, when you get to what you have been crying for, when you get to what you have been longing for, little by little, you won't be able to wipe them out quickly. Brick by brick, layer by layer, little by little is not delay, it's design. Because I love it, you won't be able to wipe them out otherwise. Church, can I just encourage you today? There is an otherwise behind your little by little. There's a reason. And God in his kindness says, the reason I'm not giving it to you all at once is because if I did, the wild animals would overrun the land. You wouldn't be able to contain what you have been preparing for. You wouldn't be able to maintain and sustain what you have been believing for. In other words, there are consequences you cannot see yet. There are responsibilities you're not ready for yet. There are pressures you do not have the capacity to carry yet. Y'all, when the children went in, God said, this is a generation that has never known war. These people don't know how to do war. And so instead of saying, all right, here's the land, here's all the giants, here's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of enemies, take your promise. God is like, all right, let me take you guys over here. You don't hold your sword like that. Hold it like this. Sa, now you, what is that? How do you think you're going to put that down? Get a nice, okay. All right, now you stand behind him because he's short, you're tall. Actually, no, bring the tall one in front so we can protect the short one. Now when we go in, guys, when I say go, we go to this small town, we conquer it, and now we walk away like, we can do this thing. Now let's go to this other town. This one's a bit bigger. Johnson, you did a good job. Hey, but last time, bro, when I said left, you went right. This time when we say, okay, Johnson, have you heard? You've understood. Let's go. And we go. And we have a victory. And what's happening? Our capacity is being enlarged. Our ability is being enlarged. We're getting better at this. We're getting strong in this. Our confidence is growing. Oh, we knew God is for us, but now we know God is for us. We knew he would give us the victory, but now we know. Ooh, he's gonna give us the victory. And now we get to this big town, and now we say, Johnson, take the lead. Yeah. Brother Johnson, back here, was causing chaos and mayhem. But because of this town, and this giant, and that giant, now Johnson is ready. And now when Joshua says, Brother Johnson to the front. Brother Johnson steps up and says, I am ready, send me out. I am well able to take the land. Little by little is not a punishment. Little by little is not a delay. Little by little is the design of God. Because God doesn't want to just bring you into the land. God wants you to occupy the land. Come on, somebody. You know, when we're building and it's happening little by little, raise your hand if you've ever done any kind of building project. You've built anything, even if it's like a chicken coop for your chickens. Does it not always take longer than you thought it would? And the temptation is to use cheap materials because they produce faster results. But shortcuts now are going to create problems later. Don't use cheap material when you're built. If you want to build what's going to stay fixed, don't use cheap material because it's easy to access and it's much quicker to obtain. Because whatever you make a shortcut here now, you're going to pay for that later. And that's not God's portion for you. That's not God, what God wants in you. Church, whatever it is you're building, God doesn't want you to sit in there and despise it for the rest of your life because it's so shoddy and it's not doing what it was supposed to do, that what you were meant to enjoy, you now end up despising. But it's not because God didn't provide. It's because you didn't follow. I didn't follow what he said. And we took shortcuts and now the roof is leaking and the door doesn't close and this drawer is just stuck all the time. That's not the life God wants us to live. The strongest structures are often the ones that take the longest to build. So if God is moving little by little, don't despise it. Don't rush it. Don't compare it. And that's hard not to compare when you see your little by little and you see someone else's much by much. When my parents, they built a home, the first home they ever owned, ever had, and I had a friend who started building a year after they started building and finished building a year before they finished building. And sometimes that's how it feels when you look at what you're building and you feel like this is taking so long and I'm looking at what someone else is building and theirs seems to be going so much faster. And Lord, I see my little by little and I'm trying to trust my little by little, but boy, I sure would love some of so-and-so's much by much because much by much seems way nicer than my little by little. Don't compare. Don't compare. Trust the master builder. Trust the blueprint. Because the pace that frustrates you today may be the very thing protecting your future tomorrow. Church, God does not want you to build a house that when the storm comes, it will fall on your children's heads. God does not want you to build a house that when the storm comes, it's not just you who gets hurt, it's generations after you that now are having to carry the damage of what you built too fast, of what you built your own way. Trust the pace. Trust what he's asking us to build because that can be what protects us tomorrow. Number four, prioritize what nobody sees. Hebrews 11:3 in the Common English Version says, because of our faith, we know that the world was made at God's command. We also know that what can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. One of the greatest principles of building is this: the visible is always created and upheld by the invisible. What you see is really being held by what you don't see. The strength of your marriage is not found in your wedding photos or your Instagram posts with your couple goal captions. The strength of your marriage is in the unseen conversations, forgiveness, sacrifice, and prayer. The strength of your ministry is not found in the microphone. It's found in hidden devotion. The strength of your business is not found in your branding. It's found in integrity and discipline and the stewardship that nobody will applaud. What is visible is simply the manifestation of what is invisible. The kingdom works from the inside out. This is kingdom principle. It works from the inside out, and the world will teach us and pressure us to build for appearance, but God teaches us to build for substance. That's why Jesus spent 30 years building an unseen life before 3 years of visible ministry. If you want to build something that will stay fixed, don't neglect the hidden places. Don't neglect the foundation. Don't neglect the structure beams. You know, what people admire is usually built on things that they've never seen. And the temptation is to sacrifice substance for appearance. But can I just tell you, church, your curtains are not going to help you when the storm comes. Your choice of color of wallpaper. And that's what people will compliment when they walk into what you're building. That's what they see. That's what they enjoy. But when pressure comes, I have never once been in a hard place with my husband and thought, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm just going to go read my old Instagram posts about him. What people see is not what helps us when the storm hits. What people see is not what delivers us when the tornado comes. When we go through a hard situation, it's not what y'all see. It's those moments that we take each other by the hand and say, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. It's those moments that I look him in the face and say, Alan, I have failed. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I am so sorry. It's those moments that he looks at me and says, Rebecca, what do you want? I'll buy you anything. Those are the moments. I felt glory on that. Let me preach on that a while. Finally, number 5. For us to build what will stay fixed, remember that what God calls you to build is building you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. The greatest product of the build is often not the thing itself. It's the person you become while building it. Noah built an ark, but the ark also built Noah. Nehemiah built a wall, but the wall built Nehemiah. David built a kingdom, but the kingdom built David. God is not only building the thing, he is building the builder. God is actively working on you while you work on the assignment. God is so interested in you. You are what he loves. Does God care about the business you're building? Yes, but he loves you. He died for you. He gave his one and only son for you. He knows your name. He knows every detail of your life. He's deeply concerned that you be healthy and strong and filled with joy and filled with peace. God wants you to enjoy what he's asked you to build. So when the storm comes and we see, oh, there's this area of what I'm building that has a weakness. I need to work on that. Yeah, the build does reveal your weaknesses, but don't miss this, church. It will also reveal your wiring. You will discover fears that need to be confronted, but you'll also discover gifts that can be developed. You'll discover things you never even knew about yourself. You'll find areas, yes, where you lack capacity, but you'll also uncover strengths, creativity, wisdom, leadership that may never have surfaced if God had not called you to build what he's called you to build. The assignment is developing more than a result. It's developing you. It's developing me. When I was first asked to be the creative arts director at Nairobi Lighthouse Church, I vehemently and with all of my heart said no. Because I did not feel called to leadership. I didn't feel qualified to leadership. I like being behind the scenes. I like people to like me. And I don't like early call times. And, you know. But I remember meeting after meeting with Pastor Don And he'd sit and just, he'd slowly, I see something in you. I see potential in you. I see something that can be developed in you. You see, I wasn't just building the team. The team was building me. I'm not just building my cell. My cell builds me. Hey, cell leaders, see, you have to go before the Lord a lot for these wonderful sheep and all the sheep in this room who are mine. I love you. But where? You have sent me to the throne room many times. But what a gift that what I have been entrusted to lead leads me to the throne. What I have been entrusted to pour out to makes me have to go be poured into so that I have something to pour out. Everything we are building is building us. You know, the Bible says that the Ark of the Covenant was solid gold and it was put on the shoulders of the Levites. That's heavy, man. That's heavy. And if I was one of the Levites chosen, I guarantee you that a year after the day I started, I would probably not be as chubby as I am right now. Because you see, what happens is I can lift this heavy thing. But what happens when I lift a heavy thing today and tomorrow and I do it again and I do it again? Oh, I feel muscles where I ain't never felt muscles before. Ooh, I feel strength coming where I never felt strength before. What I am carrying is building me. What I am carrying is strengthening me. And so instead of looking at the thing God's asked me to carry and start having an attitude and a problem and saying, this is heavy, this is hard, why can't somebody else carry it? I'm just gonna rejoice that give me a year, I'm gonna be so buff and so fit and so whatever. And the only reason I'm strong is because I did not put down what God asked me to pick up. And I did not let go of where God called me. And I did not give up on the difficult thing that is heavy for me to carry. Church, what God has asked you to build is building you. What God has asked you to carry is strengthening you. So does it feel heavy? Maybe. Does it feel difficult? I'm sure it does. But don't give up on that marriage. Don't give up on that calling. Don't give up on what God has put in your hands. Keep going. Build what will stay fixed. Build what the storm will not destroy. God is reminding us today, follow my blueprint, trust my pace, strengthen the unseen places, let the storms teach you and allow the process to shape you. And if we build his way, little by little, day by day, obedient step by obedient step, one day we will look back and realize how we built mattered just as much as what we built. God bless you, NLC.
Come on, can we really appreciate the servant of the Lord, the word of God that has been deposited into us today? I want to pray over us. Just invite the Holy Spirit to take what we've received. This has not just been a message. This has been an impartation today. And I want the Holy Spirit to take it, and we're going to walk out of here and we're going to seek to live this word as we were encouraged right at the beginning of this message today. And if there's any one of these areas, priorities, pace, anything that you really feel the Holy Spirit just put his hand, it put his finger on that area of your life, I want to pray with you and agree with you. I want to pray a pastoral prayer over you today, because what you're building is going to serve the future generations in Jesus' name. The marriage that you're in, the business that you're leading, the relationships that you have, we believe that God, by his power, is going to take this deposit today, this word, and you will go forth. And when the storm hits, oh my gosh, you're going to be in such a tremendous place as the Holy Spirit reveals today what needs details, what needs the detailed attention right now. So lift your hand. Any one of these areas, anything that you want a prayer of agreement with, I want you to lift your hand right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you today for this deposit of your word. Thank you for these moments that we have had in your presence from the beginning right to the end of this amazing service. Thank you for what you've given to us today, what we've received. And I stand in agreement right now with everyone. Lord, hands are raised all over this room right now. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a supernatural work. Continue by your presence to bring us into the fullness that, Lord, every area of what we're building is becoming stronger and stronger in accordance with your details, in accordance with your design, in accordance with your plans. Father, we thank you that we are arranging our priorities. God, we're setting things in order. God, thank you that you're allowing us the privilege and the blessing, God, of laborers together, that we go forth, Lord, as your people in the earth, a strong, strong building for you. And I thank you today, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we celebrate what he's done and what he will do? Everybody, let's have an amazing week. Let's go and let the Holy Spirit continue to work deeply in us, bringing us into that fullness of strength. Have a great week, everybody. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.